future is now. And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. I'll be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. We have been immensely busy here at SVK Crypto. Yesterday, I was speaking at the London Blockchain Week event. I was on a panel talking about venture capital and blockchain and what's really going on with a lot of different venture capital firms looking at blockchain and what they're really looking for, in a sense, right? What are they looking for? The opportunities they're looking for? What are they not looking for? You know, a lot of venture firms are not looking for token exposure. Why? Because we've seen a lot of cryptocurrency focused funds blow up that way when the market came down. So it's really interesting. It was a really insightful panel. I had a lot of fun doing it. So big shout out to the London Blockchain Week team for making that happen and the other panelists that were there as well. So after that, myself, Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto, and Marco, our content king, jumped on the train from London Euston up to Manchester. At Manchester, we spoke at Manchester University. I want to give a big shout out to Fraser, one of the members of the Blockchain Society and Association up there that was kind enough to invite us down to speak to the university students. It was an awesome event. In fact, myself and Shane shared a keynote and we did a joint presentation, which we were super pumped about and super energetic to be delivering to the students up there. And the level of engagement and understanding in that room blew us away. It really did. And I want to say a big thank you to everyone from Manchester University who made the time and took the time on their busy evening schedules, especially when Manchester United were playing, to come and see myself and Shane speak. We really, really appreciate it. And thank you all for the lovely messages you've been sending to us as well after the event. Big thanks. So with that in mind, what I've decided to do today is use some of the content from our speech that we delivered and served up cold in Manchester in today's podcast. I think there's some really interesting points that we mention, our story, how this all came about. Right, our insight and our journey so far. So with that in mind, I've taken down, by the way, the keynote was around an hour and 20 minutes. So what I've done is I've shortened it down to make it punchy, impactful, and insightful. Just what we do for you guys. We take the time to go through everything to make sure it's the best it can be. Now remember, as always, if you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto Podcast. It keeps a smile on all of our faces for all the late night shifts that we put in to get this done. So listen, with that in mind, let's get on to the talk and let's get down to business. So before we jump in, let me set the scene a little bit. Myself and Shane got to Manchester, arrived at the university, set up and started going into the presentation. Before doing so, we want to gauge the audience's perspective on who here has heard of SVK Crypto over a round of hands in the air, so we can kind of gauge that a little bit. So with that in mind, let's jump in.
Who here has heard of SVK Crypto before? Okay, three. And who hasn't? Who's never heard of SVK Crypto? You have no idea what we do or who we are. Oh man, that's gonna hurt, isn't it?
That's not nice.
No, you're killing me. Well, I think what we'll do is, Okay, that's all right. We're not going to hold it against you, neither am I. I think what we're going to do is we're going to tell you our story. And our story is going to go from the initial inception of actually discovering cryptocurrency and blockchain technology and putting on our first trade, which was, of course, Bitcoin, all the way through to present day and why we're kind of standing here before you. And with regards to our venture capital fund, which we now manage $50 million of money. I'm never here to sell anything. I'm never here to ask you for anything. We're really here to give you value in each and every way that we can. It's really been at the ethos, but what we do is to give forward, build a community, help with education. And it's amazing just how much positive stuff has actually come back when you actually deploy that type of approach to the space. We realize we're really, really, really early. Like, what we've seen so far with regards to cryptocurrency and blockchain technology, it's not even the tip of the iceberg to where we'll be. But we'll take you through that, and we've got some videos in our presentation. If anyone feels like putting up their hand and asking a question, please do. Audience participation is always really welcomed. My name, I suppose, should we start with some kind of formal intros? My name is Shane Kehoe. I am the co-founder of SVK Crypto. Before we set up SVK Crypto, I'd worked in the city for a long time, the city of London, that is. And my background is portfolio management and hedge funds. I worked at one of the most aggressive hedge funds in the world. I was a portfolio manager, which means that I had a book of about $100 million. Almost like going down to Ladbrokes on a Saturday morning, if you like to gamble, or to the casino. I'm sure there's many in Manchester. And my job was to place bets each and every day, manage risk correctly, not lose any money, and generate returns better than the market. The hedge fund that I worked with was called Bluecrest Capital Management. I don't know if anyone's familiar with the series called Billions. In the third episode of Billions, there was a guy called Michael Platt. He had his nameplate on the first episode. He was one of the titans of the industry who came in to meet Axelrod and to talk about their positions. Michael Platt is actually born not too far outside Manchester. He runs Bluecrest Capital Management. I think the guy's worth about $4.5 billion. He started about 10 years ago at zero, ex-JP Morgan derivatives trader, and at the height, Bluecrest managed about $35 billion, or as we say in the business, yards. I was the youngest managing partner at Bluecrest, not because of what school I went to or who I knew. I made partner at 32 years old because I made fucking money, and I made money the right way. I didn't fuck up. I didn't lose it. I could handle risk, and I could manage a position whereby I had my risk reward in favor. I was made partner because at a hedge fund like Bluecrest, it's all about performance. It's performance driven. They don't care where you've come from, what age, what your background is. It's all about managing capital and not losing money, deploying it and making outlandish returns, which I did. I'm very happy to say that. It was an enormous learning curve. And what I did was I invested in IPOs, initial public offerings, very like the craze that we've just seen with ICOs. The thing about the ICOs is there was no Goldman Sachs or Merrill Lynch or Morgan Stanley. There was no prospectus. There was literally a nice website and a white paper and a great vision. And some of that worked out really well, and the majority of it didn't. But we'll get on to maybe ICOs in a little bit. Anyway, at this time, I had kind of fulfilled everything that I wanted to do at Bluecrest Capital Management. I'd made partner. Everything was going really well, and I decided I want to take a career break. I've always loved house music, and I've been DJing since the late 90s. I've loved going out to raves. I've loved going out to parties. And Bluecrest, it doesn't matter if you dress on the weekend as a girl and call yourself Debbie. They don't give a shit. They just care that you come into work on the Monday morning and you can perform. So after being at a hedge fund for many years, I wanted to go and pursue my other talents. I was a resident DJ at Ministry of Sound in London and played all over the world with every house DJ around, from Eric Merlo to Roger Sanchez to Mandy from Get Physical to et cetera, to Coxie. So anyway, in 2013, on my travels around, I think it was Korea, I had stumbled on what people were calling Bitcoin, and I was fascinated because I had an investment background what this magical money was. But it was actually some years later that I really stumbled on it and figured it out. But anyway, I'm now the co-founder of SVK Crypto. There is a team of 10 of us. We're based in East London, in Shoreditch. We're passionate to the core about what we do, and this market is a 24/7 market. It consumes you to the point of unhealthiness, but we really love what we do. Initially, in 2016, we had a kind of like a family office of my own personal capital, and we had just read an article in Forbes magazine called Bitcoin Rising Like the Phoenix. And I remember reading about Mt. Gox and the debacle about how Mt. Gox was hacked. If any of you are aware, it was one of the first exchanges where people could trade Bitcoin. Up until then, we had a lot of miners, and I know Josh is in the room who runs all the biggest mining rigs. So if I speak out of line, Josh, please correct me. But back then there was miners, but there was no real aftermarket, so there was a big accumulation of Bitcoin. Anyway, Mt. Gox was the first marketplace which permitted people to buy and sell Bitcoin. It got hacked, and the price of Bitcoin went from about $1,000 down to about $150. It was around this time, after being in Korea, that I'd heard about Bitcoin, that I was interested in it because when you look at something that has the potential to replace fiat currency, it has the potential to replace dollar, how Bitcoin is a finite supply with 21 million and it's peer-to-peer, you know, without the involvement of a central bank, and it looks at value and trust. That to me is extremely interesting coming from an economics type background. However, when I read this article about Bitcoin rising like the Phoenix, it was at that stage when I pulled up my Bloomberg terminal and I saw Bitcoin go from $999 to $1,000. This was late 2016.
Yep.
At that point, I got very excited because I thought I saw it top tick through $1,000. It probably had done that several times that day. And I turned around to the guys at the desk and said, we need to buy this. And they were like, well, what is it? And I was like, well, it's digital gold. And they were like, well, what's digital gold? I was like, it's magic fairy dust, right? It's got a limited supply. It has no institutional backing because it has about 98% retail participation. At that stage, it had about 16 million coins in existence, and it had gone from literally zero to 1,000. Everyone thought I was mad. Everyone still does to a certain extent. But we bought $100,000 pretty much then and there. Actually, it took us about 5 days to actually put the trade on.
And another 5 days to receive it.
Was it that long?
Yeah.
Okay, that must have been pretty scary. Initially, when I wanted to buy Bitcoin back in 2016, I rang up a broker in Hong Kong that would literally get you anything, anytime. Tickets for the sevens, VIP entrance, anything you wanted, he'd get it. And I rang him up and I was like, listen, I want to buy some Bitcoin. And he was like, well, what do you want to buy that for? I was like, well, I want to buy it because, you know, I believe in it. And he's like, are you sure not going to be buying anything online with it? I said, well, actually, now you have a use case, because at that point in time, I think there was some websites that you may know were only accepting digital currencies. He couldn't put on the trade, but after a little bit of research, I found various different brokers like Kraken and Bitfinex. It was a little bit difficult for someone who had an institutional background to buy cryptocurrency because it was an unregulated asset class, and obviously still is, and the exchanges were unregulated, and you had to send money, and you had to wait for the money to hit, and you had to wait for it to come back. But after finally getting my head around it, we bought $100,000 worth of Bitcoin at about $1,080. It moved 8% against me, so I thought like I had missed, you know, an 8% move in an equity market. An 8% move is absolutely huge. So I really thought I was buying at the top. From that point on, it actually came back down, and everyone realized I was a little crazy, and everyone thought I was gonna lose my money. And then it turned, and it went to 1,100, 1,200, 1,300. Everybody in the office got pretty interested pretty fucking quickly. It's amazing just how price action can get you interested. And I think when we look back at what happened in 2017 and 18, it was the price action that drove retail in. And for good or for bad, that's what people really focus on. However, we'll get to a point whereby the price action is actually not important. The underlying tech is so much more. But anyway, after that, we ended up buying another $100,000 and then another $100,000, and I always buy into strength, so we just kept on loading up on Bitcoin. And I think it was around this time that I came to your desk and I was like, let's find out as much as we can about this magical, mystical money, this gold 2.0. So we went on to Amazon and we bought every book about Bitcoin that we could, which was about 4 books.
It didn't take us long.
And then we looked around the internet trying to find out really what was going on. It was still much very much a libertarian type view, and a real more anarchist view. But it was at that stage, maybe I'll turn it over to you, and you came into my office and you said, well, we should go to some meetups.
So in London, there was a lot of different meetups that were taking place on Bitcoin, right? And these were primarily of people who wanted to just share ideas of what's going on in the space. I found a couple of these meetups, and I dragged Shane with me to one of them, who expected it to be more of your corporate type structure at one of the hotels in London. What we found, we were in a basement flat in Shoreditch with house music, pizza, and kind of people with long hair who wanted to share ideas on the future of the world, which was something very special and something that we hadn't really been to before. But while we were there, we learned something called Ethereum. Or at least that's what we thought it was called. We later found out it was called Ethereum. From that, I really pivoted our whole focus and viewpoint into the ICO, initial coin offering?
Well, I mean, before that, when we looked at Ethereum, right, which I couldn't spell or pronounce, the next day I got into work, and it didn't take me long to realize that it was a smart contract, right? It had the ability for contracts to have rules within the code, which then opened up so much more than just Bitcoin. I think we bought $250,000 the next day. It was very, when you really looked at what Ether and Ethereum, right, and what consensus were doing and how it had the programmable side on it, it became instantly obvious of what we were about. But that evening, we were really blown away, not necessarily by how the people looked, but what they said, and more importantly, how welcomed we were into that community back at the end of 2016. And it was a community of devs, it was a community of anarchists, it was a community of visionaries. And I thought I was going to be going into more of like an investment banking type meetup social environment, but what I met were the smartest people that I've met to this day. Real vision that weren't driven by money, they weren't driven by capital allocation. They were really driven of making the world a better place. And it was at that stage that I really had the early instinct that community is power and not money. So at that point in time, we kept on attending meetups, and it rolled into kind of 2017, and our positions kept on obviously tracking with the market, which was, you know, very, very helpful, and certainly to get a lot of people interested. I spoke to a lot of hedge fund guys that I previously knew to tell them about what I did, because I think in the early days when you put on a trade in Bitcoin or Ethereum, you really wanted to tell everybody about it, right? It was a retail, it was a community, it was something new and fresh and exciting that I think really evoked a lot of imagination with the younger generation. And pretty much every hedge fund guy that I rang in 2017 slammed down the phone on me. They thought I was batshit crazy, yet again. At that point in time, we realized that actually, you know, we're going to these meetups in basement flats in Shoreditch, and it seems to be very much a dev community. You know, maybe why don't we go about and set up our own meetups and bring our own people, as well as the community that have been so welcoming. But host events whereby we could take people from the city that understood the economics of it, and we could take students that were really interested in trading crypto. And we started hosting our meetups. Initially, we thought that, you know, we would have maybe 50 people turn up. What we realized is that since that day and to current day, we now host the largest monthly meetups in London. Our last meetup, I think, had about 400 people just to start of January. We've been doing meetups at Q4 last year, and we had over 550 people turn up of all walks of life. People from hedge funds, people from the Bank of England, people from Bloomberg.
The FCA.
The FCA turned up. Yeah, that was interesting. And then all the way down to students. And we do this not to promote any type of particular coin or ICO. We don't do this to you know, recommend or shill. We don't do this to you know, predict. We do this to bring really interesting speakers together to talk about it. And we're very, very happy of what we've done with our community. 2016, then we 2017, we had then read a Harvard Business Review about the ICO market and what was happening with initial coin offerings, and how it was almost like a crowdfunding V.20. And it was at that stage when we realized that all these tokens that were on coin market cap were coming out of initial coin offerings. And that really interested us a lot, because I had an equity capital markets background. So we started to try to sift through many different white papers. At the stage, I think there was probably about 700 tokens on CoinMarketCap. And it kind of blew me away just how funding could happen literally just with a website and an idea. Yeah, but I quite liked it. And the ICO market in 2017 now started to surpass venture capital investment. I think there was something like 900 ICOs within that year. By the end of 2017, the markets had a massive run. As you remember, Bitcoin started, I think, about $1,000. By the time it got to the end of 2018, it had actually got to 20,000. Overall market capitalization had gone from 20 billion to 800 billion. That's a 40x return if my maths are about right. And the market had just gone parabolic. At the end of 2017, it's amazing how many of those hedge fund guys, traders, investors that I rang at the start of the year that wouldn't take my call, every single one of those guys were ringing me back trying to get money in. Every single one of them wanted to invest in SVK crypto. They wanted to wire me money. They wanted me to run their cash. And every one of them I said no to. I wasn't ready. I didn't want to manage their cash. They were only looking for returns. And I was more than happy just managing our own capital. It was around 2018 that we rolled on into 2018, and it was at this time that I got contacted by a guy called Brendan Blummer. I don't know if anyone is aware of EOS here. Can I see your hands? Who knows EOS? EOS. Okay. So it was around this time that I got a phone call and told that it would be very beneficial if I could turn up at this hotel at this time to meet Brendan Blummer. I was aware of Brendan because he was along with Dan Larimer, he was the brains behind EOS, which was on track for the largest token generation event in history, which was going to close in about June. So this was end of Q1. This was around, around February, March. And when I sat down with Brendan, he had then started to explain to me what EOS and EOS.io and what their plans were going to be. They were looking for partners globally to invest in. They were going to take $1 billion of the funds raised. I think on the next slide you might have. They were going to take $1 billion of their $4.8 billion that they raised. When you think of how much money they raised $4.8 billion, the largest token generation in history. They did that without any investment bank. They did that without Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley. They did that with technology. And they did that with an even distribution. Every 23 hours of the 350 days, it would reset. So it would give everybody around the world time, or should I say the time when they're awake, to get in or to buy their tokens. It was an amazing result, and it was an amazing amount of money to this day that they raised. They decided that in order to give back to the ecosystem, that they would pick different venture capital firms around the world. The first venture capital firm they picked was Tomorrow BC, which is Eric Schmidt, who is the ex-CEO of Google. After that, their second investment was into Galaxy Digital, which is Mike Novogratz. Novo is ex-Goldman Sachs, ex-Fortress Investments, and now runs Galaxy Digital. You see him on Bloomberg all the time talking up Ethereum and EOS. I think at one stage, did he buy $1 million or a million Ethereum at $1?
He bought half a million Ethereum at $1.
So, I mean, massive player, huge bull, and he really saw the value of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. He now runs Galaxy Digital, which employ, I think, 80, 90 people worldwide, and they've done some pretty amazing investments. After that was FinLab AG, German venture capital firm. After that, it was EOS Global, which is out of Korea. And then their fifth investment for a venture capital firm was SVK Crypto here in London for $50 million. I'm a firm believer that they invested into SVK Crypto really because of the power of the community and what we do for the space. It's not interesting for me or anybody who works for me that it's about money. It's not about just writing checks. It's not just about allocating capital. That's fucking boring. And when institutional money comes into this space, there's going to be a wash of money. It's about how much value you can add towards the investments that you make. How do you add value? And it's funny, we just read a Medium piece on...
Right. By Andreessen Horowitz. I don't know if you guys would have heard of them. They're one of the big venture capital firms in Silicon Valley. But the issue with Silicon Valley is you have all these great deals, but everyone doesn't have the ability to get into those deals. It's not about writing checks.
Right.
What other value can you add to these projects than just a check? Because everyone can write a check for a great project. It's about what value you can bring to that project. Can you build their brand? Can you build the awareness of the project? Can you build the team? Can you open them up to your network? How can you add value? What can you do that a check can't do?
So listen, with that in mind, I think Shane did the lion's share of the speak when it comes to our story because he has it down to a T. His ability to tell where we've been, our journey thus far, I think, comes second to none. Shane did an amazing job at lining that up, teeing it up. We went, as I said, the speech was for an hour and 20 minutes. I really wanted to bring to you guys the story of us so far and the journey. And by the way, that gets us to last year where we finished it off with regards to having the funds set up. Part two will be coming soon, don't worry. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be going through the rest of the speech and chopping up kind of 5 to 10 minute segments of that, the most valuable bits that I found, and bringing those in tomorrow's episode as well. So listen, stay tuned for that. With that in mind, that's a wrap. I've got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention. As always, we respect that to the highest level. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto Podcast. Hit us up on Telegram, SVK space crowd. Follow us on Twitter at SVK _ crypto. And if you haven't already, feel free to email myself at cstory, CSTORY@svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.